You have to have a definition of marketing. And my definition of marketing is the acquisition, retention, and management of a customer over time. My definition is that a brand is a promise delivered and measured. And when you sell to people in the home, you can't sell them anything. You have to be listening to them.
And welcome to the Growth Genius series brought to you by DMA Asia and InfiDigit. My name is Shelley and I'm the host. In this Growth Genius series, the world's best marketeers and business leaders are interviewed about the brands they have worked on, their successful campaign strategies, how they got noticed by their customers, and how they delivered better customer experiences to drive growth. Today, we have a very special guest, Edward Lehman, founding chair of Fashion Design California College of the Arts, Stanford University professor, and chief brand officer of California Closets. Trained as a merchant in London in the late 70s, Edward developed the passion for the customer as he explored his career in Europe and Japan in the lifestyle business of fashion, interiors, and entertainment as a designer, merchandiser, and marketer. From 1994 until 1998, he was executive vice president of California Closets, directing and driving the growth of that brand, and upon its acquisition, took on a bigger role in brand building across a whole portfolio of property service companies. In addition to his professional work, Edward held the position of chair and professor of design at the California College of the Arts, and he has taught at the St. Martin Schools of Art in London, in the Green MBA program of Dominican University, California, and is at present teaching at Stanford University in California. He speaks often at conferences on the subject of building a brand. A very warm welcome, Edward.
Hello, so nice to talk to you today.
Great. So you have 35 years of experience in brand building with notable brands. Please tell us about your professional journey.
I began as a designer, a fashion designer. I graduated with degrees, bachelor's and master's in American history from Cambridge in England. I had a short, disastrous career in banking and got back into retail fashion, an area my parents came from. And I discovered the most important person in everything was the customer very early on. The retail teaches you that. And I created a collection that went around the world. And then I moved from that to Japan in the early 80s, the first half of the 80s. And Japan was going through a tremendous growth at that time. And I learned Japanese and worked in a Japanese entertainment business. And I was a big fish in a small pond. And you learn humility, which is critical in brand. And I learned to think globally, which was very important because one of my jobs was to take Japanese techno music across the world and find interesting music for Japan.
Okay.
From there, so I'm moving from a creator, if you like, to a marketeer at that point in time. When I moved to America in 1986, I ran a company that was involved in leather outerwear, and you learn there the difference between small markets. As a European, you think of the American market, for instance, as New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, Seattle, maybe. But when you're working in America, you realize there are thousands of markets, if you like. You learn the difference between North Carolina and South Carolina, the difference between Seattle and Portland, the difference between Denver and Spokane, and that sort of micro markets. So you learn the business insights. So over a period of time in my career is moving, I've moved from creative to marketing, and then I moved to brand. And the difference between marketing and brand is brand as a sort of three areas. If you're going to be a master of brand, in my opinion, a practitioner of brand, you have to understand product. Yeah. And words like quality and value and price and trend and style and merchandising and packaging and all that sort of stuff in product. You learn about the customer experience and location, convenience, staffing, training, special services, etc. And then you learn about marketing in terms of a brand person, and you have to have a definition of marketing. And my definition of marketing is the acquisition, retention, and management of a customer over time. So it takes a long time, in my opinion, to become a specialist in brand, in terms of being able to build a brand.
Yeah, great. So you have always speaking about brand building. So what are some of the most significant strategies to build a successful brand and also drive growth?
Well, I think it starts off with having a definition of what a brand is. And there are many definitions. My definition is that a brand is a promise delivered and measured. And therefore, the brand has to have a visionary promise. It has to have an extraordinary delivery system from the beginning of customer awareness all the way through to after sale, and a relentless passion to measure everything, to have the data. Because in today's world, the customer doesn't care about our promises. It cares about the experience that someone who's been delivered the promise before them has received, who then goes onto social media and through reputation, evidence, proof, or whatever, says, my experience of that promise was that it was delivered beautifully. So what a brand does in the end is promise the delivery that it already gave someone else, but it has to keep on renewing and evolving the promise and the delivery. It's a long-term cycle between the giver and a receiver.
Great. So my next question is on customer experience. So there's a revolution taking place in the experience market. The customer experience has become a key element in how brands operate and interact with their customers and enterprise scale, enabling unified customer experiences. So how do we approach this change? What are the best ways that you can utilize technology, data, and creativity to become a business of experience?
First of all, again, one has to define one's customer experience. It's not a monolithic idea. It has steps. It starts with awareness, customer awareness, which is the marketing piece. But you have to understand the what we call the felt need the customer or prospect has for that service. And then there's that omni-channel first contact moment. Depending on the brand, that omni-channel first contact, which you are not in control of, could come online, it can come face-to-face, it could come in the store, it could come in the home, it can come in many ways. And that omni-channel first contact is then turned into the process of a sale through consultation or exhibition or presentation. And then you secure the sale. And then there's this massive gap between getting the business and delivering the promise, which is a whole part of it. And then when you've delivered on the experience, you then have to measure that thing. So in my opinion, every single stage, which is defined by language, process, and measurements of various kind, cumulatively becomes the customer and brand experience. I'm a big fan of data-driven empathy, the process of understanding the different empathic relationships a brand has with different customers. You have a different empathic relationship with a first-time customer, a customer's only had tried you twice, a long-term value customer, a customer that didn't actually translate into a sale, but is still a customer in waiting because they're a prospect, and a prospect is a warm lead versus a cold lead. All this is a very scientific approach. I think a brand experience, a customer experience, and I call it a brand experience, that the brand becomes a brand experience. It's a mixture of art and science and what I call shopkeeping detail. You know, when you come from retail like I have, you know that retail is detail. And so the little things you do throughout the process make big differences.
That's very interesting. So another question is on personalization, my next question. So a recent McKinsey survey of senior marketing leaders finds that only 15% of CMOs believe their company is on the right track with personalization. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I come from as a chief brand officer of California Closets, you know, speaking to you, and we're in the custom business. Every single project we do is custom. Every single project from a product point of view, is a one-off, if you like. And therefore, and you're selling in the home, if you like. And when you sell to people in the home, you can't sell them anything. You have to be listening to them. And you're really shaping a customized product for a customized experience around their definition of home and what the meaning of home is to them. You know, it's very simple, but there is no sale without a buyer. And as salespeople, we're not very good listeners, but the whole secret is in listening and then responding in with a custom communication that's also seamless. The process, the machine, the technology provides seamlessness. The humanity within the technology, or even just straight one-to-one humanity, provides the customization, that personalization. You know, there's a difference between relationship and what I call skinship. It's more my experience in Japan, the skinship, which is relationship taken down to the moment of touch, is a very much more deeper and more meaningful concept of service. And that is a custom and personal experience.
So you were talking about the humanity. So storytelling is playing a huge role to humanize the brands. If done well, the brands can build trust and stronger relationship with their audience. But how do you combine the data with emotions to develop a more compelling story?
It's about brands that have no artifice, as I say. I'm a huge fan of Patagonia. And I'm a fan of Patagonia as a brand because there is no wall between who they are and what they do. When a customer purchases from Patagonia, they know the company they're buying from. They know the product and what its ethics that are inside that product or part of that product. They know the beliefs of that brand. They know, they can imagine the people who work for it. There is no wall between what you do and who you are. And I think that's very much where we are as in a world today. You know, it's everyone maybe thinks of business in a linear process. I think of it very cyclical. You know, it's the giver of the gift of service gives the gift to the recipient. Yeah. You give the gift of your brand and the service. The recipient takes the gift and then enjoys it and passes you the gift back to make more promises. It's continual cyclical thinking. It's not linear thinking. I think I call it the cycle of service.
That's great. So can you please tell us about one example of a marketing campaign you have done recently and one that you admire done by somebody else who you think is perfect?
Well, the one we've done recently is this, the repositioning of California Closets into a brand of belonging. The relationship of the feeling of belonging, that people belong to their home and to the people they love, and in a place called home, which is the place that looks after you and looks after the people you love and the things you cherish in your life. So you've got the feeling, the intrinsic feeling of belonging, this inclusive, modern, without boundaries and borders, a very modern approach to thinking of society and the organization, the storing, the maximization, the customization, the optimization of belongings. So the relationship of belonging to belongings. And that's a campaign we launched about a year ago and it's had tremendous response, not just from our audiences, from influencers and the press. And we're very, very proud of it. In terms of campaigns, I'm one of millions, right, who admire Nike for what they do, because they don't speak to the product, they speak to the feeling. They're very clear, this is about personal effort, not about competition, although maybe competition to self. I'm a huge fan of Apple, and because it takes tremendous discipline to edit out noise, to get to what's important and still do it at the level of art. So there's nothing surprising in the campaigns I admire. I hold them in the highest esteem, those two brands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very great examples. So we all want to stand out, but as a marketplace becomes more crowded, this is becoming increasingly challenging. So what are the top three trends that are shaping up that you think are worth watching for?
Trends?
Yes. Any top trends?
Well, I obviously the role of AI, you know, is a huge trend. But I think of it in terms of its role as, you know, personalization and customization around the meeting of between customer and company. I think that courage is incredibly important. I think the number one rule of leadership is lead. The leadership brands are what I call educator brands. And they should lead, not look over their shoulders as much as they do, overinvest in tomorrow, understand who their customers of tomorrow are going to be, understand who the competitors of tomorrow are going to be. So the courage to move forward. And I think brands are going to be more courageous. And I think the third trend, therefore, is to strip away the walls between companies and customers, to have, because the greatest asset we all have is the people who work with us or for us and who we work with. And so the trend, I speak of something called the transparent container. It's imagining a glass of water. And in order to drink the water, you need the glass and the water. Without the glass, the water's everywhere. Without the water, there's nothing to drink. The job of the brand is to create the glass, this transparent container. It puts some water into the glass, but so does the competition, so do your suppliers and your vendors, certainly your employees do, so does the world. The space itself is a collaborative, co-creative, and educative container of which we all share. But unless it's transparent, unless we can see what's happening in there, it's not sincere.
Yes. Yeah.
So those are some of the trends I talk about.
Very right. So looking at these trends, what are your recommendations? What should marketers do for the next year or a horizon of 2 to 3 years? How should they focus?
I think you start off by really understanding your brand platform. As someone who teaches at Stanford over some years, and we're surrounded by incredible entrepreneurial thinking, people who have great ideas and great dreams. When I talk about brand and I invite a student up to talk about the brand, they're talking about the product, not the brand. And I said, that's nice, that's the product. Where does the brand come? What's this set of feelings, these deeply held feelings by founders, by boards of directors, by senior management teams? What are the foundational beliefs that lead to the values that then lead to core purpose, that lead to relevant difference, that lead to competitive different differentiation, that lead to sustainable competitive advantage? What is this brand platform that you have? And then how do you language this visually, verbally, and unfold it through a marketing environment that's is incredibly complex and changing all the time? You know, as chief brand officers or chief marketing officers, we cannot be experts in all the disciplines of marketing. And so we have to have the humility and the confidence to allow our teams to walk out on the high wire of business in a competitive environment without a net, knowing and telling them that the dirty little secret is, if they fall, we will catch them. To inspire young, brilliant minds in the world of marketing is such an exciting opportunity for us as the head marketeers and the head brand people, and to allow them to fail fast and to get back up and do it again and again and again. That's what I recommend doing, to not have insecurity, but to have courage and faith that a good team aligned to a brand platform of values and beliefs and everything I've talked about together can unfold a brand's promise through its delivery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. So before I go to the last segment, I wanted to ask you one another question on sustainable brands. So post pandemic, there's a huge shift going on that customer, they are going for sustainable brands. So what do you think about that?
I think it's amazing. I think it's wonderful. I've been working in for 35 years waiting for this moment. I mean, it's come out of fashion, right? Originally, yeah. We've been talking about this with green cotton and the what's like forever, you know? So I think it's taken 35 or more years for this moment to arrive. And now everyone's talking. And I think it's going to be a very exciting time. I'm hearing brands really think about it. But centrally to me, the concept of sustainability, I have a different view of it a little bit, that the most sustainable thing a human being can do or have is have a long-term relationship with another human being. And therefore, the very concept of sustainable thinking is based on sincere relationships with your customers, your prospects, and your colleagues, your team members, employees, whatever you want to call it. So that is a community approach to looking at business in a community like that, in a container like that. That is sustainability. That, you know, that defines innovation in some ways.
Yeah, very interesting. So this brings us to our last segment. So tell us about any one passion you follow and how it helps to elevate your profession.
Well, it's the teaching. For me, it's the teaching. You know, if you're a teacher, and I've done this in some great institutions for many years, the way I describe it is, you know, if I live in the Bay Area, and, you know, if I'm teaching at Stanford, I live about an hour and a bit away from campus when I'm teaching. So I usually teach in the evening, and I drive down there and I feel really tired from, you know, half a week or the day's work. And I really don't know if I can do it, you know, because my classes are, some students have called it part class, part cabaret. It's a very immersive experience. 2 hours later, I emerge from that environment more exhilarated, more inspired, because younger minds are thinking in unique ways. You know, we were trained as marketeers, brand people, designers, in a very linear approach. Today, it's not linear. The way of thinking about things is almost DNA helixes. The student can see things in an organized way that really excites me. They're putting ideas and inspirations from different industries and different cultures across the world into one thing. So the walls are down globally. So when you're in the presence of that, you're being more inspired than probably you're inspiring your students. Mm-hmm. So that's where my ideas come from. It comes from them. I may have more wisdom and experience of what to do with an idea. That's my job, you know, to provide the grammatical structure of how to turn an idea into reality through a process. That's how you do it. And because it's in the process where the engagement, the meaning, and the consciousness is discovered, but yeah. The ideas themselves are held by brains younger than mine and inspired in ways that blow me away.
I can imagine, yeah. Yeah, great. So where can our viewers, listeners find you and connect with you?
I'm very mysterious, actually. I don't usually get found. They can contact me through LinkedIn. They can contact me through my email at California Closets. I have a own little agency, Growers and Nomads. If you want, you know, but as I say, I'm very happy to talk to anyone. I've discovered it's important to stay mysterious when you're in the place we're at, you know?
I can imagine. Yeah. So thank you so much, Edward, for sharing your insights on brand building. I'm sure the key learnings from this episode can help the marketeers a lot. Thanks again.
My thanks. I hope I haven't talked too quickly.
It was perfect. Thank you. So to all our viewers, thanks for listening. And please subscribe to this channel. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help and support this podcast, please share it with your friends, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. I'll see you next time in a new episode with a new speaker. Till then, peace.